and gentlemen, welcome to I Don't Get It, the Pop Culture Get Off My Lawn cast, wherein two late 40s curmudgeons bravely and boldly stare down the prospect of their entertainment irrelevance. I am your co-host, Noah Tarno, founder and senior quizmaster of The Big Quiz Thing, the trivia game show Spectacular. And joining me this time, every time, all the time, it is...
That is a drum roll. I am Bill Scurry. Like, hey, everybody, it's me. It's Bill Scurry, you know, your favorite neighbor, the internet's older brother, the sort of like, you know, the dandy fop that you love. I'm all these things. I fill a lot of boxes. I am the founder and proprietor, as everybody knows, of America's Caesar Enterprises, which is the stuff that dreams are made of.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever heard the song Things That Dreams Are Made Of by Human League?
Maybe, but I can't recall it.
It's from the same album as Don't You Want Me. It's a good song.
Can you imagine?
You'd like it, Mr. Prog Rock.
A human league, like a league literally consisting of humans. What would the size of that group
that's
be?
That's the joke. Not really the joke, but that's the idea of the band name.
How about let's go back to the late 80s. How about the group World Party? Could you imagine the sheer...
That guy just died.
He did.
A month ago.
Yeah, he did.
World Party was basically one dude. He just died.
But could you imagine the unwieldy size of a World Party? It would get out of hand.
Yeah, it would be tough.
I think you
should live your life as if it's always a world party. That there's always a party 24/7 for everyone in the world.
And I would also...
But in that case, it's a pretty shitty party.
I would like to also quote you in saying, just like if you... Honestly, if you go by the self-reported metrics of Mr. John Bon Jovi of New Jersey, just think of it. Think of the scale. He saw a million faces and he rocked every one of them.
He rocked every... It's actually not untrue at this point, considering how long, even at that point, he had probably played for a million people in concert.
But did he
corroborate
though?
Even though I didn't like his music
then,
it was rock and roll.
And
their faces, the people brought their faces to the concert with them.
They did. Unless they were like Yul Brynner or Westworld, they may have left their faces at home. But yes, technically they were probably still there.
What, Yul Brynner and Westworld?
Yeah, man. He's a robot. Richard Benjamin throws acid on him and his faceplate falls off and you see the, he's, you know, the robot cowboy. You see the wiring inside of his face.
Wait, when is Westworld from?
What is it, 72, 73?
Yeah. So what am I confusing that with?
Well, the TV show on
Something
HBO.
Something more recent.
The one that was the HBO series Westworld, which is an adaptation of the Michael
Crichton. I didn't know there was an older Westworld.
Oh, yeah,
what I know about the oeuvre of Yul Brynner.
Well,
I do know how to spell Yul Brynner because that's a tough one. Anyway, speaking of outer space, today's topic, it's a pop culture get off my lawn cast, but this isn't strictly pop culture. There are pop culture offshoots or connections. But, you know, we're always talking about what the kids are talking about or what people are talking about. And this is definitely something people are talking about, but a little left field for us. As we record today, it is Friday, April 5th. We are 3 days away from Monday, April 8th, 2024, which many, many, many moons ago, pun intended, was predicted as the date of a major solar eclipse. So we're going to talk about this eclipse that's coming up on Monday. You know, you might know the last major solar eclipse to hit United States, North America was in 2017. But this one is going to be more of a solar eclipse in that we're going to see more here in these states that are united. Now, what is a solar eclipse? Very simply, a solar eclipse is the somewhat rare, but not really that rare, confluence of astronomical factors or astrological factors, if that really explains everything to you, of the moon's orbit passing between the Earth and the sun. So that, briefly, for that mere moment or those few minutes, the sun is blotted out by the moon. And of course, since Earth and moon have, you know, not somewhat irregular orbits, it differs how dramatic a solar eclipse happens. And this is going to be the most dramatic one in a long, long time. Basically, there will be a band, you can see this on maps, a band from Texas to Maine, covering 15 states plus parts of Canada and Mexico, in which that the sun will be blotted out for about 4 minutes, depending where you are. That will be The Path of Totality, as it's known. Also the title of a great Gary Numan album. And
I was thinking of a joke to make at the same time, too.
I knew you'd like that. Thank you. So that's going to be A Path of Totality. But in most of the rest of the country, in fact, parts of every state except for Alaska and Hawaii, you will see some blotting out of the sun. And this is a pretty rare occurrence, and people are really into this. Now, of course, supposedly you cannot look at an eclipse without special glasses. You will do major retinal damage. That's what they say, but the last big eclipse in 2017, famously, you know, the orange goblin looked directly at the sun, and somehow he's not blind.
And this podcast officially recommends that you do it. You do just that. That is our, that's our recommendation, that. Yeah.
How did we,
Just keep going. Just keep going.
Anyway, breathe. You know, 31, this is a big one because 31 million people live within the Path of Totality. It is the wider, more populated path than in 2017, as I said, visible in every mainland state. And people predict that 4 million people will travel to go to spots where they can best see the eclipse. The traveling here will generate $1 billion in revenue. There's a great article on Vox that described it as 50 Super Bowls in one. I sent you that map I saw that shows where Airbnbs are having the most sellouts for this weekend, this coming week, and literally the Path of Totality, it looks like that's where almost all the sellouts are happening. So people are traveling for this. It's also brought up other issues. Production of solar power has exploded since 2017, so there are some worry that this is going to cause mayhem with the solar power grid. I don't understand that at all, because it's solar bullshit. Power...
Yeah, it gets dark every night.
They're prepared for the moments, 4 minutes without the sun. If that really is going to destroy solar power, then I guess we are screwed. Parts of Canada, they're closing school for this. And then a lot of companies are doing eclipse-themed promotions. Krispy Kreme is selling the Eclipse Donut, which is like a yellow glazed donut with an Oreo in the center. So it looks like it's being blocked out. Smoothie King is selling a special eclipse smoothie that comes with a free pair of eclipse glasses. And I swear to God, I thought this was a joke, but this is real. Pizza Hut is saying, hey, we're having a special. We're selling pizzas in the shape of the moon and the sun, ha ha ha, in a promotion called Total Eclipse of the Hut. Okay. I know you get two pizzas for $12 or something like that. And of course, because we live in 2024, a lot of crazies out there think this is the rapture and we're all going to die. And I don't know why we listen to these people, but Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend was quoted saying it's a sign that evil is destroying America, which, I kind of agree. I do think evil is doing its best to destroy America. And the fact that science still reigns is partly how they're destroying it. So maybe he's right about this one. And this will be our last big eclipse until August of 2044, 20 years from now, Bill, where we're probably not still going to be doing this podcast for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, we said that 20 years ago, and we're still doing it now.
Hey, we were doing this the time of the last eclipse, we were doing this podcast.
That's true, yeah.
So eclipse mania has struck America. Bill, what do you think of the eclipse and what do you think of people being interested in
it? Well, it's worth noting that neither of us are anywhere near the band of, the pathway.
I don't know about you out there in Europe, but I'm still going to see something apparently.
No, we're not.
If I want to burn out my retinas.
Yeah, but it's like, I think that maximally, it may just look like passing clouds. Like it's going to get barely dark.
Also, you get screwed if it's cloudy. Like everyone could be fucked with this.
Yeah, well, and the phenomenon, the actual looking at the forecast, the Times has a big article, sort of a big resource on it, where they were saying that at least half the United States is expected to have significant cloud cover. So it's going to be anticlimax for a lot of people from Mexico up until about Arkansas or something like that. And I think maybe only in the Northeast are they going to get away with seeing something worthwhile. But
we win again.
Yeah, so that's the
Northeast
truth.
Wins again.
The truth is you won't see a whole lot. It'll just look a little darker as much as anything else. We're nowhere near this. In fact, I did my own. I know, I like many a brave, intrepid person in it. No, I did my own research. And it turns out that we have to wait. Europe is going to get one of these in August of 2026. However, the path of totality it describes is going to be very irregular. It's, you know, like this one, when you look at what the maps are all laying out, it looks like a sash across the North American continent.
It really does.
Yeah, a North American continent. It's very consistent. And yet the one I see predicted for 2026 is actually going to look like a weird crooked letter C that kind of like curls
up. How's that possible?
I don't know. But it's gonna wind up doing is essentially looping through Spain around Greenland and wrapping around like the North Sea.
I really don't understand astronomy because like how's, I don't understand.
Like you said, it has to do with irregular orbits, one would assume, but it's going to describe a very weird path. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, actually, look, man. I mean,
I barely understand the idea of a solar eclipse in the first place.
Look, I just.
And by the way, a lunar eclipse is the opposite. It's when the moon is the Earth is between the sun and the moon.
Yeah.
It makes the moon look red because of diffusion of particles or whatever, and that's called the blood moon.
Big pizza pie, all that shit. Yeah, look, man. I can do an impression of Carl Sagan, but I can't like successfully transmit his words and ideas and his, you know, the way he was so successful at being a astronomical teacher and idea conveyor influencer. But yeah, you know, the 2017 one, I remember pretty much the experience you're going to have. Me and Janice went up on the roof. We were living on 15th Street at that time. We went up on the roof and we noticed like, oh, it's like a cloud is passing overhead. It got semi-dark-ish as if the sun would be on a cloud. And it was anticlimax. And it's like, okay, the only reason these things really like... The only way they hit is if you are in the path of totality. Otherwise, I just don't understand what you're getting very excited about, which I guess would explain why everybody is like moving, you know, heaven and earth to get to the path. I mean, I read a bunch of stories that were published either in USA Today or some of these other news, like mainstream news sites, a couple of boomers writing. It's like, I have been waiting my entire life for this. I went to two other eclipses through, you know, from the 70s through the 2000s.
I know. I saw that guy. He's 52-year journey to see an eclipse.
Yes, exactly. And that's like, you know, it was one was a cloud out. So that fucked him over. He wasn't able to get to another place. But it's like he said he was packing his family. They were going to drive and drive and drive and drive and drive. And it's like they were trying to outlast clouds. They're going to try to play, you know, flexible and get on the ground. And it's just, it's like it's a gigantic effort, you know? It's a really big fucking effort, you know? And here's the thing. I am not like, the eclipse never really struck me as being one of these great impressive things. I see the science of it. I know, like, again, we were trying to teach ourselves exactly how this works and what the whole point of, you know, light diffusing and whatnot. You know, it's like, if you look at the diagrams, it explains it very easily. But, you know, the eclipse is kind of like, it's so short-lived because the four, you know, within the band itself is only a few miles wide. So the maximum efficacy is really concentrated in a very, you know, discreetly drawn thin line. And then it only lasts for 4 minutes. And it's like, boy, this whole thing is fleeting. I mean, it's beautiful in a way. It's fleeting.
But isn't that part of the magic, that it's fleeting?
I guess so. But here's, you know, I was doing this today, writing down notes for this liquid research, and I was thinking to myself, you know what really blows my mind? You know what my thing is like comets. You want to talk about something out of the heavens that we, as a piece of, or as I should say, as a transient phenomenon that has the same sort of long distance between visitations. In my lifetime, I've seen two comets, right? I saw Halley's in 86 out on Long Island. I remember it very well, going out in front of my grandmother's front yard at night. And even with the shitty Long Island light pollution, my grandparents pointed up at the sky and it's like, I saw it was probably, it looked like it was about 3 inches long up there, but I fucking saw Halley's Comet. And when they told me that I could conceivably see it if I lived to be 86 years old, I could see it on the comeback trip when it comes about 75 more years. And that blew my mind. That filled little Bill Scurry's mind in 1986 with this sort of like massive sprawling wonder of the cosmos. And then again in 95, this was a bigger phenomenon. Hale Bopp, you know, Marshall Applewhite was going to hitchhike a ride on the back.
Apparently, got his balls off. Yeah.
Yeah. There was supposed to
be. I love how that's the first thing we say when we talk about this marvel of astronomy. The crazy people who murdered themselves.
It fucking earned it. That's what we do as humans. But however, yeah, there was supposed to be a flying saucer, I think, in the tail of the comet is what the idea was.
Yeah, tail of the comet.
But that's like...
Supposed to be?
Yeah. I was out on Long Island for this. I was still in college, obviously 95, but there was very little light pollution out in the Hamptons.
I thought it was 95. I thought maybe. It was right around the time we graduated. Anyway,
yeah, who cares? It was, but it's great. It's like we went to a place with no light pollution, and that fucking comet, no exaggeration, it looked like it was about 4 feet long in the sky, like overhead in reality. Yeah, it's like it was very visible. It was like you saw the smear of ice behind it, and it was like, yeah, you know what? It's like that's where I'm at, man. It's like you give me a comet, there's something more awe-inspiring and astounding. But for some reason, the eclipse just doesn't fill me with anything. And until you mentioned it when we were texting, I didn't really. I knew it was coming, but I didn't really plug into the phenomenon until I started looking. I was like, oh, people are really like changing their lives. Well,
people are excited. Yeah. Yeah, I've never been into astronomy. Astronomy's always bedeviled me. I remember when I took physics in freshman year of college, and it was real basic physics. And we had a little segment on astronomy, and we had to go like look at the stars every night. And I never saw anything. Like over time, I kind of see stuff now, but like I remember the time going, I think stars are a big hoax played on me because constellations, because I swear to God, every time I look up at the stars, they look completely different from the last time. That they're random every night, and oh yeah, sure, they make patterns. Like someone's pulling a prank on me. It never has clicked with me. And
who's
never
the fucking Phoenician or Thracian who drew the bear thing and then drew the fucking crab? It's like, who is that guy?
I'm sure you could look it up, Bill. It's probably not.
You think that's like
probably our records of who came up with, you know,
Gary,
Ursa Minor or whatever.
Gary in Carthage was the first guy to describe her.
Gary, yes. Yeah. Gary in Carthage. You got it. Short for Garrett. Anyway, so I've never been into astronomy. I've never particularly, like you, like, I don't know, comets do sound cool, but I didn't go out of my, I don't remember anything about Halley's Comet when we were kids. I don't remember any interest in Hale-Bopp. I'm not even hearing about it until we found out that the guys in the Nike sneakers had castrated themselves and killed themselves. But that said, I'm having a little regret about, I mean, I don't think I would have traveled for this, but I might've gotten glasses so that I could, you know, see what I can see from San Francisco Monday. And I really get why people are into this, especially now, because people really want to be part of something. And the fact that it's only 4 minutes and the fact that, you know, we're not having something like this for another 20 years, I think really makes people feel like this is something special. And apparently I watched a video online of people watching in South Carolina, watching the eclipse in 2017. And it wasn't just that they were all together and they were cheering and yelling and screaming, but like, it did look pretty cool. And imagine right when you're in the sweet spot of the path of totality, it's a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, you know, people in previous centuries and millennia who had no idea what was going on scientifically, like how much it must have blown their minds. It didn't make them think they're all going to die. But there's magic to it. And, you know, there's a little regret that I'm not going to see this. I think it's nice that people still care about something like this, something that's fact-based, something that's old-fashioned, something that's rooted in science. Something that's nerdy. I mean, I know the stuff that's traditionally nerdy when we were kids, like took over superheroes and video games and computers, but those things have become unnerdy in a certain way. I think, you know, science and stars and planets and the heavens are still pretty pocket protector, you know, broken glasses kind of stuff. And the fact that the world is homing in on something like this kind of makes me feel there's hope for intelligence and knowledge. But you look, we feel so distributed. We feel so divided as a world. We feel so much like we live in different realities. And here's a brief moment where like there is an undeniable reality that we all share in. I mean, that was the hope I had. And I think a lot of people had for COVID. Like the silver lining of this is, you know, we're all in this together. We're going to work together to make things better. And, you know, fine, we have seen the truth of science. It can't be denied. We're going to deal with this, and then we're going to deal with climate change. Nope. You know, I mean, partly because if COVID only lasted a weekend, maybe, right? But the fact that it went on, which they all told us it would go on that long, and just also that bad actors saw an opportunity, it tore us apart more than ever. Really squandered chance to find something good out of a crisis. We completely blew that. This is a moment. There's no real crisis here. There's no crisis here. So this is this small, precious moment for us to all get together, all be in the same page, all, no matter who we are, where we are. I mean, at the very least, we can hear about it, you know, share in something that is real, that is uncontroversial. It's kind of a magical thing. It doesn't happen very often, and I'm glad that it does.
You lingered over the coffee pot. Now you can eclipse it. A spicy lunch and your breath is hot. Now you can eclipse it.
Noah, let's pivot into popularity and tell me, why are we talking about this massive phenomenon?
Well, I said it, you know, we're desperate for something to bind us together. And apparently it is a magical thing that, you know, kind of gives you this awe. You know, taking it back to my feelings about it, it's kind of funny. I think back to my first philosophy class in college, and I remember the professor saying something, or we were reading something, you know, probably from hundreds of years ago. And it was something like, there is no guarantee the sun will rise tomorrow. And I remember that kind of blew my mind, you know, even though it's risen every day since then, 30 years ago, whatever. But, you know, that there's still something incredibly magical about the sun rising every morning and setting every night. It's a reaction to how detached we feel we've become from nature. We've become so jaded and so overstimulated. It's nice to be reminded that, you know, the world is really amazing. You know, we see it all the time and we become inured to it, but there's really magic in science. You know, something I've done a handful of times in the last year or so, and I really need to do more often, is a few times on Friday night, I've driven out to the beach here, Ocean Beach, about a 20-minute drive from my apartment. And I've sat on the beach and just watched the sunset. And it's kind of beautiful. And there's always a handful of people watching it. It's kind of cool. People, you know, there's people on that beach. It's not a beautiful beach, but no, it's a beautiful beach. It's not a sit around.
You get the privilege of Western sunsets. And anytime I'm in a place where the sun is going down and the ocean is such, look, it's a novelty because we didn't have that where we grew up. And so
you can see the sun rise, but yeah.
It's not the same thing. The sunset is a completely different ballgame to me.
It's magical. And you know what I do? Every time the sun's finished setting, I start applauding. And I start doing that and other people laugh and they start applauding. And I like that because it's this way of saying, yes, this happens every fucking day for, you know, since the trilobites or whatever.
And you agree with strangers for a single moment over something strange and random.
But,
it's good.
But also acknowledging that it's, you know, I mean, treating it like it's a performance. Yeah. Like, nature is amazing and the world is amazing and these things are stunning. We just fail to see how stunning they are because they happen so frequently. This is a moment, something similar, but because of the infrequency, we don't lose sight of how stunning it is. If an eclipse happened every Friday, it wouldn't be a big fucking deal. Oh, why is it dark? Oh, it's the eclipse. Oh, yeah, that's right. Or whatever, right? You plan around Friday at 10 a.m. because the sky's going to be dark, right? So I really think that it's a rare moment for us to find magic in a world that seems less magical, to find unity in a world that seems more fractured. And, you know, I think despite what we might say or how we might act, we are all hungry for that. We are desperate for magic. We are desperate for unity. We want it. We might deny it, but we fucking want it. And I'm pleased and not surprised that this is what everyone's talking about.
That's baked into the species. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah,
this is baked in a
massively predictable group phenomenon. You know, people like to gang up and watch in mass. You know, you're going to see a lot of footage, you know, images and whatnot that comes from all the various viewing spots. It's going to be in the most obscure small towns in the United States. It's going to be in open fields. Everything gets turned into staging grounds for a day of fun. You know, it's really highlighting parts of the United States that don't get thought of as a place that you want to go will be turned into a place, in fact, that you went and, you know, cleaned out all the Airbnb for a few days. It's pretty wild. Yeah, like you said, the rarity is, that's the other, you know, the other thing too is the fact that you got to go years in between. Occasionally decades, occasionally just a few years. Like the distance between 17 and this isn't that long in the grand scheme of things, but the next one, exactly, you're going to make people wait for a long time.
20 years. Jesus.
Yeah, it's a long
time. Then again, 20 years ago was 04, which really does not, seems very recent to me.
Seems, and yet is not. Yeah.
How old we have become, my friend.
This becomes one of those you got to be there things, you know, and like some of those are bad. Like, you know, where were you on 9/11? And then some of them are like, where were you during the benign ones? Where were you during this freaking, this eclipse? That's pretty cool. Yeah, and let's also hammer this idea that there is kind of a bit of lunacy, and I say that with a pun intended in the middle of it, with people not...
Good, very nice, yeah, very nice.
They lunacy. don't quite... There is, as we know, there's a component of people who don't quite know how science works, you know? Honestly, before we went hot on the mics, there's the idea of like the Juggalo thing about how do magnets work. I think simple things that we take for granted that we just sort of understood with public school educations in the last 30 or 40 years are kind of gone now. It's like there are certain things that people just don't understand, you know, how the Doppler effect works. What simple physical properties that are just, you know, you needed to be in a chemistry class or physics class somewhere in seventh grade where you learn basic principles of simple, simple things. You know, biology, chemistry, whatever you'd consider, observing the natural world and having reproducible, predictable phenomena was a big deal. So, you know, I think that some of the popularity from this is kind of the quasi-mystical read that gets put upon it, which I have not really interfaced with in my doing my research for this. But I know that there is, of course, there's a gigantic component of people who stuff crystals up their ass and do Reiki and there's all this bullshit with astronomy. Look, that's, you never, like, there are people who are highly educated, rational people who will still go to a Reiki expert, you know, like something like that. It is, there is a piece of the human.
Bill, I tried Reiki, didn't work for me. I know some non-woo-woo people who it works for. When it comes to pain, whatever fucking
works. Sure, but let's not pretend that energy is coursing out of someone's hand into your body. Something may work, but it's not what they say it is my point.
A total solar eclipse happens when the moon comes between the Earth and the sun, completely blocking out the sunlight. Now, you should never look directly at the sun, but if you have the right safety equipment, you'll see the moon's shadow taking a little chip out of the sun, slowly blocking out more and more of it over the course of an hour or so, until for a few minutes, it becomes dark as night.
Is there any sense that when you were a child, if you were younger, you would have engaged, if you were younger now, you would have engaged with this more? I mean, you said you cared about comets when you were a kid, but not about eclipses. But if you were young now, would you be watching TikToks about the eclipse?
There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, this is concretely one of those things. I feel like the last few topics we talked about, like this was a wash because you talk about Beyonce's album. It would have been stuff like why me being a kid would not have like made it look any different. And yet with this topic, I feel like absolutely, like I was an astronomy freak as a kid. And I tended to think.
Really?
Kids, maybe I'm just thinking of boys. I don't know. I'm trying to be more holistic about this. I think there were two types of kids. There were dinosaur kids and there were astronomy kids.
And I was neither.
Really? Okay. You know,
I kind of liked dinosaurs, but not enough to like, you know, memorize all their names and stuff.
You know, our distant acquaintance, Elliot Kalin from the Flophouse podcast and The Daily Show, he goes on and on a lot on his podcast about how he was a dinosaur kid. You know, he'd like...
But a lot of kids were. I was a superhero.
Yeah, it was not one of the other... you could not be... We were a superhero. Everyone could be a superhero kid. But I tend to think that your specialty in the sort of science that you were going to nerd was either the planets, the solar system, or dinosaurs. Not that you could not like one or the other, but you tended to...
I was more into maps and geography, as we're talking about.
That's pretty cool.
Science.
The observable world, yeah. So, yeah. You know, the thing is, I would have been into it because I think that it's less the idea of, like, I'm thinking of it as the, like, you know, substantially, the sky gets dark and it lights back up again. It lasts 4 minutes. I'm downplaying it as an adult because I'm a jaded pisshead, you know. I think we can all agree on that. However, when I was a kid, though, you're talking about, man, you lassoed me with the mysteries of the universe, man. You know what? You got me with crystal skulls. You got me with Stonehenge. You got me with Piltdown Man, the Cardiff Giant, Loch Ness Monster, all this stuff, you know? I wanted nothing more than to penetrate, like, in search of, you know, just to know what. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was into. I was way into, like, yes. Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Strange phenomena as narrated by Leonard Nimoy. Yeah. Weird
UFOs,
stuff.
Ghosts. Oh,
God, dude, you just.
I believed in all of it.
Burial mounds, you know, Anastasia. Yeah. Cave.
All true. Cave all dwell. True. All true. You know, all that, happened. That's every the bit.
Thing. And look, I mean, that looked like Piltdown Man, Carter Giant. There's fraudulence. There's ridiculous stuff that is, you know, the stuff of many Time Life books that were sold in the 80s about unexplainable phenomena. I'm not saying that this is unexplainable, but, you know, but like Halley's Comet in 86 and to come in whatever, 2076 after whatever the fucking come around is. It's like there's a huge
2525.
There's a hugeness to that where it just that like expands my brain, you know, my tiny brains, which is like as if someone blew air into my ear, my head just swelled up. Like that kind of thing was absolutely devastating for a kid. Devastating in a good way. I'm just saying it's sprawling. The universe, the size of, and the complexity just as sprawling as a kid. And I love that part.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just said before I wasn't into astronomy at all as a kid, and still not. But the extent I'm fascinated or thrilled or interested or positive about this, there's a few reasons I'd be less into it as a kid. One is, you know, I was young. I felt I had more time. And there's something really harrowing about, oh, it's not going to happen again for 20 years. And me going, well, shit, like... There's a good chance I won't be alive in 20 years.
Yeah, you need those 20 years, buddy.
Right. I need those 20 years. Who knows how I'll be feeling in 20 years. So, you know, this is it till the end of time, as far as I'm concerned. Also, as I was going on before about it, it was like a philosophical thing. There's a philosophical thing about it. And I guess I was less philosophical back then. I mean, I said I took philosophy and I thought I really liked philosophy and briefly thought about majoring in it in college because that's where the money is. But, you know, I think I am truly more philosophical now because I've had more of life's experiences. So things mean more to me, right? Or I have a greater understanding. It was all speculative back then, and now it's based on actual experience. So, yeah, I think I... Let me put it this way. I'm not engaging with the eclipse on Monday, probably. But I wouldn't have engaged on it on Monday if I were 25 now. But I feel worse about not engaging with it now than I would if I were 25.
Eclipses are insanely hard to predict. Ancient people like the Babylonians, Chinese, and Maya had advanced mathematics and astronomy good enough to construct some of the most accurate calendars in human history. But none of them can predict exactly when and where solar eclipses would occur.
Noah, here's a great question. I think that is
yes.
could in fact be quite literal. Is this a sign of the apocalypse? Yes.
In Norse culture, traditionally, the gods put the evil Loki, we all know Loki, right, from the Avengers movies, they put Loki into chains, and Loki got his revenge by creating wolf-like giants, one of which swallowed the sun, and that causes an eclipse. Among the Chippewa people, when they saw eclipses, they would shoot flaming arrows into the sky to try to rekindle the sun. Tribes in Peru did the same for different reasons. They hoped to scare off a beast attacking the sun. And in the Victorian era novel, Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, when the main character goes back in time to the King Arthur era, he convinces them he is a powerful being by telling he will blot out the sun. And conveniently, he knows an eclipse is about to happen. So they're also scared. They put him in charge and start calling him the boss. So, you know, for many, many human beings throughout history, an eclipse is literally a sign of the apocalypse. And considering the way things are in the world right now, it has crossed my mind that perhaps, and I am of a bit of a religious / supernatural bent, it has crossed my mind that maybe Monday the sun will be blotted out and it'll stay blotted out. I am not going to say there's a 0% chance of that. But one interesting scientific thing about that, and this all makes sense when you think about it, is I read something about how the 2017 eclipse during in the path of totality, you know, there are reports of abnormal behavior among plants and animals, you know? I mean, how are they supposed to know? They come out, they're like, oh, it's nighttime. You know, chickens begin grooming the way they do at night.
Yeah, bees.
Cicadas were reported to grow louder.
Bees on the way back to the hive and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, they must have adapted to this because this shit's happened, you know, since before they evolved to their current forms. But there's something really apocalyptic about this, almost literally, or theoretically literally, or indicatively literally. So, yeah, why not? I mean, if the world's got to end sometime, maybe on Monday. So, yeah, maybe.
If we were Aztec or Toltec or maybe living in Angkor Wat, Noah, at its teeming height, you know, I think we would exactly think just that, that you'd try to figure a way. Yeah, it's like, you know, it almost seems, and this is a skewed way of thinking about it, but it seems unfair to put human beings on an island with volcanism and not explain the volcanism. And they just have to treat it like it's an angry god that they have to appease by either, you know, giving offerings of coconuts or virgins or something like that. Or, yeah, you know.
Same thing, really. That'd be equal value.
Yeah. I tell you, I tell you, I prefer the coconuts. I got to tell you, everybody. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's all right.
Doesn't make sense.
But it actually, I mean, yeah. So the literal sign of the apocalypse is one thing. I do love that. That's great. Anytime I get to write the word Toltec down in my notes, it's been a long time here. We don't really have the we don't get the chance to do that. But this is a sign, you know, that people get excited, a group excitation, you know, for a phenomenon of this scale, you know, involving the natural world. You know, it's like it is going to most likely be an opportunity to get everybody off of screens into sort of like you are there now moment. I mean,
it's a moment of unity, as we said.
I mean, that
can't be bad.
You know, it's weird. People talk about one of the few things that's left over as a traditional hallmark of the way we've had an entertainment landscape in this country for the longest time is they still say live sports is doing its job that it maybe not to the degree it once did, but
I don't agree.
Well, in television, I'm saying people treat it the way they used to, where you need to watch it when it happens. People don't tape a game and go back and watch it. Generally, they show up to live sporting events televised and they still have a currency to them because it's like, you got to be there when it happens. I mean, the space.
Also, you don't want spoilers on social media. You can avoid the newspaper or TV in the old days, right. But now.
Yeah, that's a lot of it too.
X or whatever the fuck.
Let's say it's the Super Bowl. Let's say it's a fucking, you know, mid-range hockey game. Like the other night, the Rangers played the Devils and like they got into a brawl the way they used to get into brawls in the early 80s. And it's like, it was a little bit of the old days. And like, oh, if you're watching this game, it's like, shit, man, hold on for a rocket ride because you're about to watch a hockey brawl, which you haven't seen in a long time. Anyway, it's a long way of saying it's like this is kind of a good diagnostic for humans if you sort of present this out of the blue type thing and get everybody in the same field and they're looking up at the same time and everybody had the same decision to drive to some town in the middle of northern Missouri, you know, and it's like and put this together. It's like that's team building, for lack of a better term. So that's the anti-apocalypse.
Worldwide anyway. Human race team building. That'll be my business's new focus. Every now and then. Any aspect of this phenomenon that you're jealous? Are you jealous of the moon? That sounds like a song lyric. Jealous of the moon. That's like a song by Kris Kristofferson.
Do you remember what Mr. Burns said? He says, what is it? For the entirety of human history, mankind has wanted to destroy the sun.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. Was that was why he was shot, right?
Yeah, he blocked out
the sun.
He was trying to put a giant convex dome so people
and everyone hated him and he got shot. And if you haven't seen it from Jesus
1991, 30 years ago,
1994. The summer of 94. I remember right. 30 Jesus. I am old. I'm not going to tell you who shot him, but watch it.
Yeah, I think, yes, there is, as much as I'm sort of blowing it off a little bit, as if I'm somehow treating this thing as not impressive, mostly it's because I can't get to it. It's like, I'm trying to think, I couldn't be further away unless I was like living in Tierra del Fuego or McMurdo Ice Station. I just don't know if there's a way to be further apart from this where I should say I'm proximal.
I don't know. No. China has to be farther
away. All right, you get the point. I'm just whipping things out of my ass here in terms of locations. You get the idea.
Whipping things. Hey, if that turns you on.
Yeah, talk about a real eclipse. I gotta tell you that, folks. Hey,
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Yeah, so it's like I you know, very much wish I could see it. You know, it's like I don't think I would not have rented an RV and you know, went to like central Pennsylvania, Centralia or something, you know, rented an Airbnb or a hotel just for the point of doing this. It's not quite like the Northern Lights I think the whole 4 minute.
Thing I saw the Northern Lights in Iceland. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's.
That happens all the time, so it's not.
But it's unpredictable. That's the thing. People go. They will plan a trip to do exactly that, and they will go there for like a week and a half, and they won't deliver. And it's like you can't bank on those. This is a reproducible thing. Like you said, there's 1,000 years of eclipses already in the books. You can know exactly when they're coming. If you can live forever, replace your bodily fluids with formaldehyde, and somehow endure, you will be there.
Smell terrible.
I definitely wish I could see it. Because again, it is something, and it's like, I'm just not going to make a sideshow out of it. But yeah, it's something that would definitely be there for me to see.
I'm a little jealous. You know, I wish I found the stars and the heavens fascinating, because I see the interest in it, you know, theoretically. It just doesn't move me the way I wish it moved me. I wish I had more wonder in the natural world. I wish I, you know, liked hiking more than I do. See, I live, I'm atypical for the Bay Area. I'm one of the few people who doesn't like being outside 24/7.
You're a noted indoorsman.
I wish I were younger. You know, I wish I could look forward to the next eclipse in 20 years. And I don't mean to sound morbid, or when I say there's a good chance I won't be around in 20 years for a variety of reasons. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm jealous that there's a big phenomenon happening and I'm not part of it. You know, I watched that video of people sitting around and like all these people in a park on blankets looking up, cheering together. You know, that's what I try to get when I applaud the sunset at Ocean Beach. You know, I wish I was part of one of those things, but I don't know. There was no world in which I was going to travel for this, you know? Well, that's not true. That's not true. If I had friends who were going, I might have tagged along. So, and I think I'd enjoy that. So, nothing's prompted me to do this.
You would treat it like the Vans Warped Tour or Ozfest, the way you end the pitch. You love doing a good musical fest.
I went to the Vans Warped Tour once. It was fucking great. Really good.
And Ozfest.
I mean, granted, I didn't have to travel very far. I was in New York and I lived in New York, but I'm glad I went. Anyway.
What about the Felonious Guild, Noah? What about the XYZ axis and things we talked about? Where does an eclipse fall?
So, I was thinking of quote unquote natural things, or how we regard natural things. And I came up with, when we did, did we do COVID skepticism or vaccine skepticism? Which did we do?
We did vaccine skepticism, I believe.
Right. We did vaccine line cutters.
That too?
I think we did COVID skepticism.
It's possible.
I think you're right.
I'd have to go back.
I'm right, actually.
It's possible.
It's possible. Let's take COVID, coronavirus reaction, when people are like, fuck this, it's bullshit, I'm going to party anyway. That's really, really bad. So multiply it times -1, you get something really, really good, which I essentially think the eclipse is. Minus something that's kind of semi-natural, didn't really do a whole lot for me, which is ASMR. Which, by the way, is that still our most downloaded episode?
Yeah, I believe it is still the reigning clubhouse champion. Right. I mean, yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but hey, we got there.
I hope I've not offended all our ASMR.
I thought Wiki Feet would really get some, but people don't want to listen to two guys talk about feet. They want to see the feet. So that was a flaw in my thinking.
I know. We should have done a video podcast where we drew little faces on our feet and pretended they were talking.
Barf.
That would have been
Jesus.
Fun.
Yeah.
I know your issue, my friend.
Yes.
All right. So COVID reaction times -1 minus ASMR plus 1.8342.
That is the heliotropic coefficient. No, I understand.
That's how Copernicus plotted it with his sextant and his, and he found within the Felonian path of totality, that's where you find the 2024, April 8th, 2024 eclipse.
Yeah, we don't have cool names like Nicolaus Copernicus and Tycho Brahe. It's just, I feel like these astronomers were in a class of their own when it came to like cool history spanning names. You know, it's like
Johannes Kepler isn't that cool.
I like that one. Johannes Kepler's a good one, man. That's a good one.
Galileo Galilei. That took balls for his parents to name him that. Why did we call him Galileo and not Galilei?
Don't ask me. Why did we call him Rembrandt when that's his first name? His name was Rembrandt.
Really? Rembrandt's his first name?
Rembrandt Harmanszoon van Rijn was his real name, but we call him Rembrandt.
People call him, his buddies call him Rem.
What was how come we call him Titian? His name was Tiziano Vassiliano. Right. And who the fuck knows why these things happen?
I read something once where someone said, what's Obama's last name? They thought Obama was his first name.
Well, I would rank this no at the very top because I think we I've got to get
very top, big, no, better than American Vandal.
No, no, no. I'm saying towards the very top in the band and the path of totality, if you will.
The path of totality that intersects with the top.
I think this is. I think this. I can't remember. Like Key and Peele is the thing I pulled out. It's like I don't necessarily know if I thought Key and Peele was the best thing we ever talked about, but it certainly was probably in the top five.
It's up
sure.
there, man. It's
yeah,
up
and it's like, and this to me, I think it's just this is such a hoary. Classical spanning old school thing. Again, how many topics are we talking about that the Olmecs talked about? You know, in the very first podcasts,
the Olmecs talked about how Airbnbs are sold out
1200 years ago before the Spanish wiped out the Olmecs and the Toltecs. Their podcasts, which were carved into gigantic stone discs, they did an episode on the eclipse. And that's like, we are continuing it's a continuum that we're keeping this up, which I really appreciate it.
Except late 40s curmudgeons were dead. You know, they were extremely old men.
Their
middle-aged guys were like 17.
The first topic was it kicking around a bound enemy's head between goals?
Yes, like exactly. That? Oh, everyone's the kids are so into this new game called kicking around an enemy's head. Yeah, these kids these days, anyone under two, these children, not the adults over the age of three.
Ironically, the last episode of the podcast was about Spanish blankets. That didn't work out too well. Too soon. So yeah, guys, Google that one, everybody. Yeah. All right.
Hopefully you know already.
I believe that takes us to the end of...
Yeah, let's end on that. Let's end on Genesis.
Let's go big time on that one.
That's great. Good job, Bill. Enjoy the eclipse on Monday. Don't look directly at it unless you're a terrible person. Then please do look directly at it. Stay safe. And see you in 2044 when we'll talk about this again, right?
Yeah, Timex.
We'll have forgotten we talked about this.
Yeah, it's true. Find past episodes of the show on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud and Google Play. Tweet to us at Noah and Bill Show. Write to us, noahandbilldontget@gmail.com. Give us a review, and our new edict now is that you should take a USB stick, take our podcast, put it on the USB stick, put it in a bottle, cap that bottle, send it out in the ocean. It will travel across the waterways and come to maybe, Senegal, perhaps even like Christmas Island. But that's a good way to spread the word for our podcast, is by literally.
The best way.
The simplest, most expedient way is to...
Work smart, not hard, folks. That's how you spread
it. I am on Twitter at William Scurry. I'm on YouTube, youtube.com/AMCaesar. I am on all those other social medias, Finstagram and Grindr and everything that you guys could possibly want. And yeah, Noah will tell you where he's at.
He's on Grindr, hoping you can find someone to whip something out of his ass. Go to bigquisting.com. Learn all about the Big Quiz Thing, America's finest source of corporate and private live trivia entertainment. And I personally am on Instagram at the Noah Tarno. I got a Google alert the other day from one of the other Noah Tarnos. He's in a play in New Braunfels, Texas. If you're interested, go check that out.
I got a Google alert about the Australian Bill Scurry, who's my only competitor.
I didn't realize there was one.
He's either a marriage officiant or a marriage sort of planner. He's a bigwig in the Sydney marriage business. And I feel like I got to destroy this man and eat his liver to assume his strength. So that's my long-term goal.
The one, there can only be one Bill Scurry.
All right, everybody. So until the very next episode of our podcast in the year 2044.
We don't get it.
An American Caesar Enterprises production 2024.